Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So we've heard rumblings that this might happen, and finally this morning, about half an hour before the show, Adam Schefter reported that the Cincinnati Bengals have parted ways with one Andy Dalton, and he is now available for any team to sign. Now, Chris, I know you and I had Field Yates on yesterday, and he was adamant that he thinks it's going to be Stidham and Hoyer as the quarterbacks, but now that Dalton's available, do you have these, I do at least, these pangs of a thought that maybe he winds up in New England?
Yeah, I mean, it would make a whole lot of sense, right? Veteran quarterback, knows his way around the NFL. I mean, he's competent, so he should be able to execute whatever system that Bill Belichick will have in place. So it does make a whole lot of sense. I just think it's a matter of making the money work. And right now, New England doesn't have a ton of cap space. So that could be, you know, a challenge in terms of trying to navigate it. But in terms of overall fit, I think Andy Dalton gives the Patriots a better chance to win the division than Jarrett Stidham does. So I think it's something that certainly should be on the board for the Patriots. But we said that about Cam Newton as well, and they haven't made a move. So I guess we have to play the waiting game in order to find out who Bill Belichick will tab as the guy that's going to be the QB1 going into training camp. But I just have a feeling that he's going to bring in a veteran quarterback. It's not going to be Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I think it would depend on what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are trying to accomplish this season. I mean, under the current circumstances, unless, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving Rob Gronkowski the playbook like a month before anyone realized that he was going to come back to the NFL.
And then he's like, no, that was not true. I did not have it, in fact.
Yep, sorry, I was just joking.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
No, but I mean, if it's true, from what we've heard, if it's true that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels really love Jarrett Stidham, I mean, what's in their best interest? You know, trying to win now with Andy Dalton or giving Jarrett Stidham the opportunity to try to go out and prove that he can be a starting quarterback?
I mean, if he's going to be good enough to be your starting quarterback, bringing in competition in the way of Cam Newton or Andy Dalton shouldn't affect that, right?
Well, I think bringing in Cam Newton would affect that.
You think so?
I think that's why. I mean, yeah, I just think Cam Newton is too good, man. I mean, what he do on a practice field, I mean, the kind of energy he brings, I would be hard-pressed to think that all of a sudden, I mean, you watch Cam Newton do what he does in practice, and, you know, you lose a couple games, guys in that locker room going, why the hell aren't we playing Cam Newton?
So are we saying that Cam Newton is overqualified to the point that he's not going to be on a roster going into the regular season?
Going into the regular season, it's going to depend on what he wants. I mean, if he's okay with starting off as a backup, I mean, people keep saying Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's like not interested in really trying to win games.
I would agree with that.
I mean, so I don't think that. Maybe Denver. I think Denver would be a pretty good fit.
Mm-hmm. And then I always thought I guess it's not going to happen. I always thought the Bears would be such a good fit for Cam Newton.
That's not going to happen with Nick Foles.
No, I know
though.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
but it would seem to me that it would make sense because if he's healthy, and I know he hasn't been healthy that much lately, but if he's healthy,
you don't know
he's a game changing quarterback.
But that's the part of it that doesn't make sense to me, Dave. I mean, you know, clearly if he were healthy and he were to be signed by the Patriots, he would be the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Yes,
I mean I don't think that's even debatable. So the fact that you have an unproven commodity in Jarrett Stidham. I don't understand why you wouldn't bring in a veteran. Even if you thought Stidham was capable of being your starting quarterback, why you wouldn't bring in a proven veteran in order to push him? That's the part of it that just doesn't make sense. I mean, you can believe in a player all you want, but until you actually get him out there in regular season games, I don't think you know what you got. So for me, if you're in Bill Belichick's situation, knowing that he wants to catch Don Shula, knowing that he doesn't have a whole lot of years left in terms of being a head coach, you wouldn't look at this season as the year where you can experiment with a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham. You would at least want to have a contingency plan to fall back on if Jarrett Stidham proved not to be your starter.
Yeah, I just think at the moment, this is just going off of what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are saying. I mean, if they do like Jarrett Stidham, I don't necessarily know bringing someone like Cam Newton into the building to compete is in the best interest of Jarrett Stidham going out there and performing the way they need him to perform. I mean, Brian Hoyer's been there. He knows the system. Like, he could actually help Jarrett Stidham, as opposed to Cam comes in and, you know, who knows how long Jarrett Stidham keeps the job if Cam's healthy and in the building.
Well, I mean, you're saying he can help him from, you know, the watching the film and diving into the playbook. And I'm not taking that away from Brian Hoyer. I think that's absolutely correct. But in terms of pushing him, I don't think Jarrett Stidham would be pushed by somebody like Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer just doesn't have the talent to be a starting quarterback. We've seen it over and over again throughout his career in the NFL. I mean, when you look at somebody like Cam Newton, somebody like Andy Dalton, those are more talented quarterbacks. So I just feel like if you're trying to get the most out of your players, if you're trying to get them to realize their full potential, competition always is a good way of making that happen, especially when you don't have an established quarterback.
I'll tell you what I would do. If I'm the Jets, I call him right now and try to get him as my backup quarterback. I mean, it would make me feel so much better as a Jets fan if I knew I had Andy Dalton, God forbid anything happened to Sam Darnold, as my backup.
No, we've already seen how that plays out. I mean, we've already seen what the offense looks like without Sam Darnold last season.
With fails.
Yeah, with fails. And now, I mean, James Morgan's nowhere near ready. No, you're 100% right. I mean, they need a veteran quarterback that can step in, God forbid something happens to Sam Darnold, and actually go out there and give you an opportunity to win games as opposed to what we saw last year, which was a train wreck.
No, that would be certainly in the Jets' best interest. I mean, Andy Dalton would be far better than what you had in Falk or Fails or anybody else that's on their roster. But I guess I got to ask the question, if you're Andy Dalton, is that the place that you would want to go?
Well, I think you'd prefer to go to a place where you have a chance to start, right?
Yeah, and even if it's not this year, you would want to go to a place where you're probably dealing with an older starting quarterback and they're going to be looking to transition eventually to a younger option.
No, I would say the answer is no, that he probably wouldn't. I mean, if given every option, wouldn't want to wind up with the Jets. But if I'm the Jets,
But what is every option? I mean, Sam Darnold hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, so you're looking at places that have, you know, for the moment, backup positions available where you have the potential to actually go and see some time and play games. And then hopefully, you know, next year reassess the market. And maybe there's a team that wants to give you a starting job somewhere.
Yeah, but you read that Jacksonville might be interested in Andy Dalton.
I think Pittsburgh is really interesting.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's an interesting spot. New England, if they would be willing to roll the dice on him. I mean, I don't know. If I was Andy Dalton, the Jets would not be my first choice just because they're so entrenched in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of great choices. I mean, the reality is there's not a lot of great choices. I mean, there's a lot of teams that, for the moment, really like their starting quarterbacks. I mean, I think Cam Newton would be a perfect fit in L.A. with the Rams.
But yeah, I don't think you can do that, though.
No, exactly right. I mean, so there are only so many places where you're going to get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback. Jacksonville would seem like the best spot for Cam Newton or Andy Dalton. I just don't know how much they're interested in actually trying to win as many games as possible this year.
And I agree with you. But I'm telling you, if the Jets go into the season with Fails as their backup quarterback, I don't want to say franchise malpractice, but I don't think it's all that far from that.
No, they got to do something to address their backup quarterback situation. It's awful. I mean, there's nobody that can really help Sam Darnold in terms of his overall development into a pro quarterback. I mean, there's only so much that David Fails can help him with. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you got to find somebody. You know James Morgan, their fourth-round pick, is going to be on the roster, but he's not going to be able to help Sam either. So, I mean, you have to find somebody that has some experience in this league, and Andy Dalton seems like that would be the perfect fit, but then you'd have to sell Andy Dalton on why this would make sense for him.
Because you have a really personable head coach that creates really, really close relationships with the players.
No, I think you can groom one of the young stud quarterbacks, and as has been shown in the first couple of years, there's a chance that you're going to wind up playing in some games during the course of a season.
That's how I would look at it. I mean, it's completely understandable. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you know, landing spots for Jameis Winston. You know, Pittsburgh was brought up. We brought up the Saints. I mean, it was funny. I'm listening to the shows this morning, and you know what? If you knew Jameis Winston was going to sign for just over $1 million, why weren't there more opportunities? Well, because those other teams don't offer Jameis Winston the same opportunities that getting a chance to see Drew Brees every single day, how he prepares, how he leads, and then, oh, by the way, having Sean Payton as your head coach Oh, and on top of that, Teddy Bridgewater did the same thing, played in some games, and now he's the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
Right. And oh, by the way, this is it for Drew Brees. So if they like you, there's a chance that you're their starting quarterback moving forward next season as well.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It was the absolute 100% perfect fit. Perfect fit. Because they can say what they want about Taysom Hill. I mean, by the way, Santiago, please do me a favor. Could you please get me the sound? Because Dave's going to lose his mind. The Jameis Winston sound talking about his LASIK eye surgery.
Oh no, he says he's like all fixed now.
No, I don't ruin. If he gets the sound, I'll play it for you in observations. Because your head will explode. Your head will legitimately explode live on the radio.
Well, that'd be good radio.
It'd be great radio.
Now, is there coming back from that? Like, once your head explodes, is there any recourse, or is that it for me then?
Well, it depends on. I mean, if this is a Men in Black situation, it'll just go. Like, if you're Ty Lue, it'll grow back eventually.
Okay.
Like, we're still waiting for Ty Lue's head to
grow right
back.
You ain't right for that.
He's got the Beetlejuice head, but they'll get back to normal sometime.
Yeah, I'm the Jets. I make the play for Andy Dalton, though. Really?
You have to. You have to. Your quarterback doesn't stay healthy. You have to.
They're not going to. I have no.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make that move.
That
move.
I don't understand.
The perfect option for him was Colt McCoy. That was the perfect option for him.
We had talked about it before
the Giants even signed him. I said Colt McCoy made the most sense.
I love Colt McCoy as a backup quarterback of the Giants. Love him.
He's got a cool name too.
Colt. But isn't he like the perfect backup quarterback?
He's the perfect backup, Dave. He's not going to make any waves. He's going to be helpful to the starting quarterback. And if you're in a pinch and he's got to play, he's competent enough to be able to give you a chance. He ain't going to lose the game for you. He's not going to win it, but he's not going to lose it.
Yeah, but if God forbid, look, Giants aren't going to be good to begin with, I don't think. But God forbid Daniel Jones goes down for a half or a week or 3 weeks.
Which is not off the board, seeing as how many times he got hit last year.
Right. Colt McCoy is more than competent. So that's exactly what I would want. I don't want a guy that's really going to have a chance to take the job, but I don't want a guy that the fans are going to clamor for if my starting quarterback has a bad game or two, but I want a guy that if my guy goes down for a half or a game or a couple of games is readily capable of coming in and being serviceable. Plus that defines Colt McCoy in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the Colt McCoys of the world, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Those guys that are career backups that we know can play, you know, that can play well if they're in the right situation and you want them only in spurts. I mean, it just feels like there were options for the Jets to pursue this offseason that they didn't really go after. They weren't proactive in trying to get those guys signed. So I think that's an important position, especially when you're trying to develop a young quarterback. I just think where Sam Darnold is right now, he can use somebody in that quarterback room that can be an asset to him in terms of being able to break down film, being able to digest the game plan, and then being able to execute series by series on the sidelines in games. I think that that's an invaluable resource, and it just feels like the Jets aren't prioritizing that.
Yeah, I would much rather Andy Dalton than Joe Flacco or anyone like that.
I agree with that.
You want a bold statement?
Ooh.
Not hot take, bold statement.
Bold statement.
The more I think of it.
So this is BS here.
This is BS. Mm-hmm. Tiny little nugget for you. So I was listening to Chris. I'm sure you saw this. And Dave, I'm sure you saw this too. We all realized that Lamar Jackson's going to be on the cover of Madden.
Yep.
So people are like, what about the Madden jinx? And he's like, well, if the jinx means, you know, winning the Super Bowl and being the Super Bowl MVP, I'll sign up for it. I'm starting to think. I'm like, oh, that's a great point. And then all of a sudden it hits me. You also forget that during the course of last season, between an ankle injury and having a dislocated kneecap, I mean, he's lucky he didn't get Madden cursed, Pat Mahomes. I actually don't mind Cam Newton signing with the Ravens.
Yeah, I like that. Who's their guy? RG3 was their guy last year, right?
He is their guy, yeah.
Is he still the guy now?
Yeah, he's still their guy.
Yeah.
I could replace RG3 in a second. I could replace him in a second for Cam Newton.
Yeah, but it's not, I can tell you this, knowing John Harbaugh, he's not going for that. RG3 is the perfect backup for what they want to do with Lamar Jackson, but more importantly for the culture that John wants in that locker room.
Where do we honestly think Cam Newton's going to end up? Is he going to have to wait until he can get in these buildings and get, like, get his foot and his shoulder checked out?
Maybe.
I think that's probably the thing that's holding this up to most. But, I mean, to think that Cam Newton won't have an opportunity to be on an NFL roster by the time the regular season rolls around because of his big personality, to me, that just seems like it's I can understand the concerns, but I just don't see those being significant enough to keep him off of a roster. I just don't.
I agree with you, but just walk through the teams. Like, is there a fit out there for Cam Newton?
I mean, Dave, I don't know if there's a fit out there that's apparent. But I mean, you know, if Cam Newton is healthy, then you're talking about a guy that's a top 20 quarterback in this league. And so I don't understand why teams couldn't see value in having that guy on your roster, even if you do have an incumbent starter that you feel good about.
Because I think exactly what you said about Colt McCoy is exactly why people are having a hard time having Cam Newton, as good as he is, if he's healthy,
yeah,
as their backup quarterback. Between fans and players on the team. I mean, that's it could cause a distraction. I know.
You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're right. There are some teams that's going to scare off a little bit, but I mean, it's that same conversation about when somebody goes to apply for a job and they're told that they're overqualified. And you're wondering, well, what the hell does that mean? I'm overqualified. If I can do the job, I can do the job. Shouldn't that be the only thing that matters?
Of course. Of course. You know, I don't think it'll happen, but New England still makes sense to me.
It really does, Dave. New England makes sense. I think that Pittsburgh situation is going to be interesting, too. I mean, we know that Roethlisberger is coming off of the injury, and everybody's saying that he'll be ready to go. But, I mean, we haven't seen a quarterback recover from that kind of injury at this advanced age. We don't know what Roethlisberger is going to be. And it'd be a shame to waste another year of having a top-flight defense.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Rick, politics get in the way. Because, I mean, when he's healthy, is he better than Goff? Probably so. But you can't bring him to the Rams.
Hey, would you guys dispute that if Cam Newton is healthy, he's a top 20 quarterback?
No, I would actually say if Cam Newton is, he told me he's healthy, he's probably higher than that.
But I'm just throwing it out there, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even think it's up for debate, right? Rick, you wouldn't argue that. If he's healthy, he's a top 20 quarterback? 100%.
Well, I think the last time we saw him healthy, he was, what, 6-2 before he took that into his shoulder?
Yeah, yeah. 2018,
but I think
right?
But here's what we don't know, though, right? Is, you know, how much money does Cam Newton want? Does he want to step into a situation where he's going to be the starting quarterback? I mean, how does he want to play? Does he want to still be the Cam Newton that's going to tuck the ball and run? Because if that's the case and he's healthy, then you guys are 100% right. I mean, he's a dynamic weapon. And then, I mean, on top of that, there are a bunch of teams that are all in. Like, there are a bunch of teams that are looking to win a championship now. And if it's one of those teams that has a starting quarterback that, God forbid, you know, goes down, I mean, I would like to have the peace of mind that I have a backup that can step in and be as good.
Oh,
who's San Francisco's backup quarterback right now?
Is it the guy that lit up the Giants that Monday night?
Yes.
I can't remember
his name. It's Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins, yeah.
Yeah, but they also got Rick's favorite, C.J. Beathard. He's still on the team.
I love C.J. Beathard. Yeah, but I mean, what about that? I mean, could you imagine what Kyle Shanahan could do with that running game with Cam Newton?
Be terrifying. Be terrifying.
I actually think that offense would be a lot better with Cam Newton being able to.
But that's the problem. Like, you can't bring him somewhere. You can't bring him somewhere where the starter has a bad game and a half, and all of a sudden people are screaming from, if they're fans, screaming from the upper deck that we want Cam Newton in the game.
Yeah, that's a part of it. That's a part of the equation.
But Chris, especially after, which I still can't believe they did this, especially after John Lynch told Jimmy G that they were throwing around the possibility of bringing in Tom Brady and get rid of him. Can all of a sudden you imagine you signed Cam Newton? Oh, be ruined.
Yeah, I mean, that's a part of it. But you have to think about this too. And this is something I believe. If your starting quarterback's mental state, if his ego is that fragile, then is he really your franchise quarterback?
Yeah, but the reality is that a lot of these franchise quarterbacks do have fragile egos. I mean, Tom Brady had a fragile ego. I mean, maybe it's the reality of the position. I mean, most starting goalies I know, when you bring in someone with that's going to actually compete for the job, I mean, yeah, it's
no, I'm not.
It's not easy.
I'm not talking about it from that standpoint. I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint they're afraid of competition at the position. If they're that afraid of competition at the position, is that really your guy? Kind of like what we heard from Mitch Trubisky and him talking about them wanting to shut off the televisions in the facility because they were saying bad stuff about him.
That's unbelievable.
Like, I mean, if his mental state is that fragile, if he doesn't have enough fortitude to work past you bringing in a guy like Cam Newton, is he really your starter? Is he really the guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl? That's the question.
Well, I think it depends, though, too. Here's the other thing, though, too, and we all know this. The reality of it is that, I mean, who do fans love the most? They always
the
love
backup
it.
Quarterback.
It's the backup.
Yep.
So there's always that fear that you have a couple bad weeks, regardless of who you are, and then all of a sudden, because your backup quarterback
is people are clamoring for
is
that
pretty
guy.
Good.
Yeah, that I sucks, just think it,
I, that's I, not that's not fun.
No, I know it's not fun, Rick, and I know the quarterback position is different than any other position in pro sports. But you know, every coach that I've played for in the NFL preaches competition at every single position. Why? Because it brings out the best in you. Like even John Wooden, who I think is the greatest coach of all time, talks about competition in his pyramid of success. Like I just, for me to not bring in a quarterback that's as talented as Cam Newton because your starting quarterback is afraid of that competition, I don't know, that bothers me a little bit. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's not a real thing. I'm just saying that it bothers me a little bit.
It's been brought to my attention. One of your favorites will join the show tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Who do we have? Tease it.
We can play the game Password.
Hold on one second. Bill Barnwell.
There you go. Beautiful.
Yeah, I got it. We'd be unbelievable at this game.
Oh, yeah,
here's the thing, though, Chris. I don't think it's always necessarily about how fragile the mindset of your quarterback is. I just think, especially in football, there are so many things that go into that position as far as being like the unquestioned leader. It's like the same reason why Steve Smith Sr. got traded when Cam Newton was going to step in. Why, you know, Russell Wilson in his locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something to be said about that when everyone looks at you as that unquestioned guy. You don't want to chip away at that.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. But I mean, it's one thing to be looked at as the unquestioned guy just because the team doesn't bring in competition versus being looked at as the unquestioned guy because you're willing to fend off any competition that comes your way, whether it's on the team or whether it's on the opposing sideline.
Dalton's going to find a job. I think it's very interesting to think when and if maybe Cam Newton winds up signing for one of these clubs. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls lined up on the quarterbacks, on Dalton, on Newton. I'll repeat it again. If I'm the Jets, I'd make an offer immediately to make Andy Dalton my backup quarterback. It's a win-win situation, right? Jets win. Dalton gets to back up a young stud quarterback, hopefully, who's actually shown a propensity of not playing in 16 games a year. So maybe it's a win-win. Today on ESPN Daily, cannabis policy has evolved across pro sports. We hear from former NFL running back Ricky Williams and the experience he had with the league back when he violated the marijuana rules and compare it to where things stand right now. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So I'm 5 episodes in on The Wire, Rick, and it's very good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Time out. And I appreciate that.
And you should. Go ahead. Take it. Go.
Get him, Rick. Get him.
You know where I'm going.
You're right.
No, you know where I'm going.
I have no excuse.
No, there's zero. Seasons of The Wire. You have one season left of Ozark.
I know.
10 episodes, and you can't do it.
Well, you know what it is? I'm not in a mental capacity to start digesting Ozark right now. I don't know. I need to be in a different state of mind. I'm not in that state of mind. And when I get there, I will dive right back in. I'm not going to go 5 seasons of The Wire without watching Ozark. I might go 1 and then dip back into Ozark, but I'm not there yet.
But why though?
I don't know.
Part of it I don't understand. It's not like you can say, oh, I don't want to watch Ozarks because it's dark, because The Wire is equally as dark, if not worse.
You're right. I don't have an answer.
Okay.
I can't debate it with you. It's just one of those things in my head where I'm just not mentally ready to go into Netflix and hit play on Ozarks right
okay.
now.
Okay.
You can see the finish line though, Dave. You can see the finish line. Have you been keeping up with Listen to Your Heart, The Bachelor?
Haven't seen one episode of it yet. No.
It's terrific.
Is it?
Terrific. Oh,
and
my goodness.
That's just going to be like, that's a 5-6 episode little stint, right?
Yeah. So what happened? I'll just give you a little bit of tease what to look forward to.
Tease.
So this
ABC
is
ABC property,
like,
by the way. Yes.
Yeah, ABC property. But this is almost like if The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise had a baby, it would be this show. And on top of it, you throw in the music. So how this ends up working is they'll have like
are there
I told
roses
you, like,
involved?
There are roses, multiple roses involved. But how it works, remember how I mentioned before the show started, be kind of like a Star is Born kind of feel?
Yes.
So that ends up being what it's like. So you have the couples. Now the couples sing together and they get judged by, it was Jason Mraz. So they get judged and the judges decide whether or not they stay or go by the song, how they sound musically, and also their connection on stage.
Oh, I like that.
And they're for the most part, they're all unbelievable singers too. That's good.
So there's actually some talent to this new addition.
Tons of talent.
Yeah.
Tons of talent.
That's
nice. You're going to love it. Yeah, you'll like it.
So that's where you are right now? You're ensconced in that?
No, I'm ensconced in that. I'm going to have, we watched a movie last night that I'll bring up in observations, because it was just that bad.
Really?
Awful. Maybe, like, I don't care what scale you're using. Could be Rotten Tomatoes.
Kids movie?
IMDb. No, this was an adult. This was a Cassie and Rick feature, and it was probably, I don't care what scale you use. It was zero.
It was that bad?
Awful.
You know what I told my kids they have to watch?
Awful.
And I don't, your kids are not old enough yet. I love this movie. The Goonies. Have you seen that? You've seen that, of course, right?
Yes.
I'm almost offended that you asked me if I've seen The Goonies.
Yes. No, I corrected myself. They 13 and 9, they have to watch that immediately, right?
That's on the list, yeah. That would be on the list of movies that they have to see, yeah.
What was the worst movie you've ever seen? Worst movie you've ever seen?
Maybe the one I saw last night.
It was that bad. Now, you know what would be great? I don't think it was, because it's been out for a long time. Because the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, Very Bad Things. If you watched Very Bad Things last night, we are closer than even I ever realized.
No, it wasn't Very Bad Things.
Have you seen that?
I've seen it. Now, have you seen Pieces of April? That was another one that was horrendous.
No.
Oh,
no.
It was awful. Awful. No. Awful.
Pieces of April.
And I was such a jerk, too, because people usually, like Cassie's dad, my brother, knew, like, before Cassie and I had kids, we watched a ton of movies, so they always call us with recommendations. So for, like, a full week, any person that called me for a movie recommendation, I'm like, oh, we just saw Pieces of April. You're gonna love it.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, because I
people have such limited time, and they take your recommendation seriously, and then you go ahead and ruin that.
Dave, it's the definition of a bad guy.
That's
Rick
terrible.
Being a bad guy. Yeah, can't help.
So they get their popcorn, the blankets on them, and their wife.
I know what it is.
Mean, what? He feels terrible.
Dave, he feels like somebody else should suffer through the 2 hours that he had to suffer through when watching the movie.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Misery loves company.
Exactly. I won't get those 2 hours back. Neither will you.
That's worse than a bad guy.
Yeah, listen, I can't argue with you. You're 100% right. I feel bad about it. And then when they call me and yell at me, I kind of laugh a little bit.
Bad guy. Let's go to, you know, who else is a bad guy? who, if I said to you, go back to Password. Yeah, it's hard to do it in individual words though. This guy attempted to single-handedly destroy the frenzy last week. Who would it be?
Jerry.
Oh my God.
That's Jerry, right?
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
That's right. Let's go to Jerry. He's back. Jerry in Jersey. What treats do you have for us today, Jerry?
Rick, this is Jerry. Jersey Jerry, you there?
Hey, what's up, Jersey Jerry?
Hey, I got a question. Now, listen, I've been getting a lot of hate on Instagram. I'm a big Steelers fan. I've been getting DMs. Big Ben is done. Steelers are done. Look what the Ravens are doing. The Browns. Listen, in your honest opinion, do you think Ben is done? Because when I look at Big Ben right now, and I see him in the best shape of his life, people are saying he put on 30 pounds. The beard is deceiving. He's in the best shape of his life. He does not need to be great to win a Super Bowl. I'm telling you, this defense is special. This defense reminds me of the Steel Curtain. Don't put it past Big Ben. He is back, and he's going to be better than ever. I don't think he's done. I just want your opinion on this because this is just driving me crazy, the amount of messages I've been getting, and I'm upset about it.
Now, hopefully he's done eating. I mean, as far as him being in the best shape, he's never been in great shape. It's all going to depend on – I know Chris has a different opinion, or maybe the same opinion. It's going to depend on what his elbow's like, man. I mean, he had elbow surgery on his throwing arm. I mean, you don't know what that's going to look like yet.
It's impossible.
It's the most competitive. And by the way, it's one of the most, I mean, how would you rank the AFC North? That's going to be one of the most competitive divisions in football, no?
Yeah.
I would agree with that, yes. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns are arguably the best team in football.
Yep.
Steelers are always good. Even when they don't have a quarterback, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year they were in it the entire way. Bengals will absolutely be better. And I think the Browns are kind of the wild card of that division right now.
Yeah, but there's no question about the talent that's on the Browns, and we feel like they finally have a head coach in Kevin Stefanski.
And their offensive line is, I mean, it's made huge strides this offseason.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. You added Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin.
Yep.
Yeah, you should be a lot better on that front as well. So, I mean, listen, that's going to be a tough division. I mean, we don't know what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be, and we seem like we're all set on Mason Rudolph or Devlin Hodges. So, yeah, I think if Ben Roethlisberger isn't close to what he was before the injury, then you would absolutely be wasting a top-10 defense, a top-flight unit.
Let's go to Jeff in Jersey. Jeff, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, Jeff. What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm wondering, so I think one of the two are definitely going to end up in Denver. Drew Lock is a young, unproven quarterback. I don't know what their backup situation's like, but I think one of them's going to end up in Denver. I'm wondering your opinion on another one going to Cleveland or Arizona with young quarterbacks that run around prone to get injured, and they can groom a quarterback can groom the young quarterback in the QB room.
I just don't know. I don't know how interested. The only thing is, and I probably agree with Denver, I don't know how interested in grooming a young quarterback Cam Newton's going to be at this point.
Well, how about,
I think Cam Newton wants to get on the field and play.
Yeah, I agree with that. How about Andy Dalton to one of those Arizona or Cleveland?
I don't think it's crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I mean, if you're Andy Dalton, you might resign yourself to the fact that you're probably best served in being in a backup role this upcoming season, because it doesn't seem like there's an apparent vacancy outside of what we see in New England. But, I mean, for Cam Newton, I mean, he lost his job because he was hurt. Andy Dalton lost his job because the team found a better option in Joe Burrow. So I think you're talking about different situations, and you're probably talking about the quarterbacks looking for different things right now.
But these guys are not going to be able to go into teams and just be the starters.
No.
Unless anywhere, New England would probably give you the best chance of that. Otherwise, they're going to have to wind up in the, like they've said, the Arizonas, the Clevelands, the Jets, those teams of the NFL.
I think it's more likely that Cam Newton is a starter in 2020 than it is Andy Dalton. Now, after this season, I couldn't tell you. Your guess is as good as mine. But in terms of, you know, the value at the position, to me, because Cam's the more talented player, I think it's more likely that he's somebody's go-to option if something happens to their starting quarterback, more so than Andy Dalton.
How angry, Rick, would you be? And you're going to say, I'm setting you up to upset you. I'm being sincere when I ask you this question. Jets don't do anything at the backup quarterback. Sam Darnold gets hurt. Fails comes in. You have a repeat of what happened last year.
I would be upset, but I would imagine that would mean that Adam Gase is getting fired. So initially I'd be upset, but then I would probably be happy. Because they should have hired Mike McCarthy. I mean, knowing what we know now about Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with his head coach, the fact that they lasted as long as they lasted and they won a championship, come on, man. That was the hire.
That was the hire.
You know what I thought was interesting, too, from the draft? And I don't know if this was just tongue-in-cheek or if he was just saying it because he's a, you know, his first year coaching. The fact that Mike McCarthy said this was the most involved in a draft he had ever been as a head coach, what the hell was going on? What was going on in Green Bay?
I think that's a question we've been asking a lot.
Makes no sense to me.
He wasn't involved. I think that tells you he wasn't involved at all. That was all Ted Thompson.
I mean, what a disconnect, man. I mean, I don't
understand
how
they've been a strangely run team for a like. Remember, Chris, they wouldn't sign a free agent for years, and I mean,
again, Ted Thompson.
Yeah, a very strangely run team for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, not so much when they had Mike Holmgren, though, Dave. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
but that's a long time ago.
That is a long time ago. You're talking about early, mid-90s. I mean, Mike Holmgren was the one that got Reggie White to commit and leave Philadelphia and come in free agency to Green Bay. And they ended up winning a championship as a result of that. I mean, I don't know. The Packers, they've always been one of those franchises that believes in drafting and developing their own people. And they've done a solid job of that. They've been competitive. I mentioned it before. Since the time they drafted Brett Favre, they've had 5 losing seasons. So you're talking about in 29 years, you only had 5 losing seasons. As an organization, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to dismiss everything that they're doing, but I think that you've got to be willing to admit when you don't draft as well as you've had in certain years, you have to be willing to supplement your roster with free agency. And that's not something that Ted Thompson has done, but it is something that the new general manager, Brian Gutekunst, has done. So, I mean, you have to feel good about the direction of that team with their new general manager and their head coach. Because, I mean, in their first foray, they had a 13-win season.
Yeah, and they were in the NFC Championship game. Now, in these very trying times, it's very important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. We'll get into the Knicks at the top of the 12 o'clock hour because obviously the GM is going to stay on. The future with Leon Rose is of topic. And then tonight at 7:30, is it just Carlin, right? That's the name of the show, Carlin, the Chris Carlin show, but it's Carlin. Jeremy Lin will join the show at 7:30. But the nice thing for us, Rick, is that that interview has been taped and we have little snippets of the interview that we can play almost like a movie trailer during our show in just moments.
Yeah, let's not ruin it though. I mean, this is his guest. Like,
we're not going to play the whole thing. But why? I mean, who are we not to play little snippets for our audience to enjoy and to preview what's going to come tonight at 7:30?
Yeah, I'll leave it to you. I mean, just do the right thing and just make it, you know, the appropriate clips that get people like right. They can't
Whet the appetite without giving away too much.
Exactly. Like, let's make this some delicious, you know, fried calamari, some, you know, pigs in a blanket.
It'll be an appetizer.
A little bit fired up.
Yeah, like the little mini grilled cheeses is what this will be.
I actually had those at my wedding, late night. Mini grilled cheeses. I had burgers, pizza trucks. Oh, it was terrific.
Sounds terrific. The mini grilled cheeses.
And then I projectile vomited all over the place.
All right, let's go quickly to Paul in Northport, as attractive as that is. Paul, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I disagree with all the criticism of Adam Gase. Everyone keeps clamoring for McCarthy and stuff. I mean, Gase had a better record with the Dolphins in the 3 years.
Then who?
Then McCarthy did in the 3 years he coached the Packers in the league together. Like, how do you explain
they haven't that? Adam Gase hasn't had a good offense since he worked with Peyton Manning. The Jets offense was horrendous last season.
He hasn't had good offensive players since he worked with Peyton Manning. I mean, I feel like every team he's coached is overachieved.
Overachieved? You think the Jets overachieved last year?
Yeah.
You think the Jets overachieved last year?
Yes. I think that
okay.
Winning seven games with the players that were on the field that year, I think that was an over. Yeah, I think he overachieved.
The first team in the history of the league to lose to two winless teams after 7 weeks of the season.
But who was on the roster at that point?
Well, whose fault is that? Look at the backup quarterbacks that he gave you.
Well, exactly. That's why he came in and said, we got to get rid of McAdoo. You can't win. I already went through this with the Dolphins. I'm not going to succeed unless I have a general manager that knows how to build a team.
He was the general manager in Miami. But he had control of the roster in Miami. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, he pretty much told the owner of Miami that he was stupid and knew nothing about football.
Stupid. The owner of
Adam
the team
said,
stupid?
That's what he told the owner of that. That's what
Stephen
he told
Ross,
the owner
yeah.
of
Stephen
Miami.
Ross, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Ross. Is that you know nothing about football compared to me.
Probably true. You don't think a lot of these owners?
Of course, it's
true. They own soap company and what's not. So what? So he's speaking.
Yeah, sometimes, sometimes your wife, and sometimes your wife looks fat in the outfit she's wearing. You don't tell her she looks fat. You say you look great.
Oh, I know that, but that doesn't make him a bad football coach. I mean, if you talk about, I feel like every team he has, like the analogies he made, like Tannehill made the playoffs without him, and then he did terrible with him. I mean, he didn't put up any better stats.
Paul, what has he done that you look at and you're
impressed by?
What? I'm impressed by...
What has he done that you look at and you're impressed by?
I like that he got the new general manager. I think that's important. And I like the way he's known... I like the work he did. I like that they came finished 6-2. I feel like... look at McCarthy. He went... What'd they go? 6-10 their last year, and they got rid of McCarthy and go 3-13 the next year. How come no one uses that analogy?
Paul, I'm gonna ask you a simple question. You're saying, based on their bodies of work, that you believe Adam Gase is a better head coach than Mike McCarthy?
Yes, I think if...
Wow, okay, all right.
If Adam Gase was coaching the Packers for 10 years, I think he would have had more success than McCarthy did.
Or he would have had a Super Bowl on his resume. Okay.
I believe so. I mean, Barrett Switzer won a Super Bowl. Didn't Barry Switzer win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys?
Yeah, you could have coached that team and probably won a Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. I feel the same
Where
way.
Where I go? Where am I? I don't understand. I'm done. I mean, come on. To sit here and say that Adam Gase is a better coach and had a great year last year. I mean, they were what? They were 1-7? The Jets were done in Giants territory last year. And we're going to sit here and wax poetic about how great Adam Gase was last season. I can't do it.
Mike McCarthy's won 125 games just
Wow, guys. I mean, Adam Gase is 30-34 as a head coach, and Mike McCarthy is 125-77. And Paul is sitting here making the case that Adam Gase is a better coach than Mike McCarthy. Didn't Bill Parcells say you are what your record says you are?
Yeah. He's been a head coach for four years. He's had one good season.
Okay. All right.
So I think let's slow the brakes on
that. And offensively, he hasn't had really any good seasons. He's an offensive guy. Have you looked at his track record with his team's offenses?
It's not good. It's awful. As a head coach, it's awful.
It's offensive.
Yeah, it really is. Really is.
You think if you gave Jerry Jones the option, do you want Mike McCarthy or Adam Gase? He would take Adam Gase?
I think he got the guy he wanted.
Yeah.
I think he got the guy he wanted.
As a head coach, Adam Gase hasn't had an offense that's been better than 24th in the NFL.
Oh, as a head coach. You what, that better change this year.
Dave, 24th, 25th, 31st, 32nd.
That's terrible.
It's actually going in the wrong direction. It's going in the wrong direction. You would think the guy would be getting better at what he's doing.
Last year was so bad. Watching the Jets offensively was unbelievable last season.
What did you really like about Adam Gase? I like that he undercut his GM and got a new one.
The way he got McCagnan fired. And
oh, my goodness gracious.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.